Welcome to Worldview Matters, discussing controversial issues, discerning current events, defending biblical Christianity. No topic off limits. And now, here's your host, David Fiorazzo.
Friends and family in Christ, thank you so much for tuning in, watching, listening, and sharing the podcast. I've got my brother Claude Stauffer from Calvary Chapel of Hope and also Shepherd of Hope. If you want to check out his blog, shepherdofhope.org. Great writing, and he is pretty consistent with putting up new content. And I just appreciate this guy's voice, even though he sounds like a New Yorker, East Coaster. Brother, thank you. Thanks for your time today. Good to see you.
So good to be here, David.
Yep, and I want to remind everybody, hey, this is a brand new book from Claude, and I got my hardcover, so you can get this. It's called Have You Heard of the Holy Spirit? This is available on Amazon, A Study of the Holy Spirit in Life and Service. So, guys, you can check that out. And I wanted to start off, though, Claude, by asking you about what's going on in America. How should we look at it? Generation Z, Gen Z men are returning to church in surprising numbers. So it seems like there's a faith resurgence. Next article, there's Bible sales have increased 41.6%. Spiritual app downloads are up 79.5%, and Christian music streams up 50%. Now, this is not to say that everything is biblical or biblical-based. I mean, you use the word spiritual or music or whatever, but Bible sales, that's a good sign. The question is, are they going to read it, and who's going to teach it to new people who are just now reading their Bibles? What church are they going to be going to? A lot of questions to be asked, but Claude, are these signs of revival?
They could be. It definitely is a positive turn. I think a lot of this is, I'd be interested to see how those upturns were affected by the assassination of Charlie Kirk. I think that really, woke up a lot of woke people to see the consequences of what's the negativity that has been preached. You know, as far as whether or not people who buy Bibles are going to read Bibles, well, in this modern day and age, the Bible is in so many formats. If you don't want to read it, you can listen to it, you can watch it. I mean, there's just so many ways the Bible. Now, as you said, a lot of times things are not, you know, accurate, and you have falsehood. We know that in the latter days, Jesus warned it, in the latter days there would be false Christs, deceptions. I mean, the New Testament warns about that. It says that before the end, there would be a great apostasy. So, you know, there's always that danger. And even when we go back in history and look at the first great awakening, the second great awakening, these revivals that moved empires, that moved nations, there was always that threat. You know, the enemy, he's not going to take a revival laying down. So he's going to try to warp it. He's going to try to distract us from the truth. But that's where the Holy Spirit comes in, the Spirit of truth. You know, if people are turning to Jesus and people relying on the Holy Spirit, hopefully the sword of the Spirit will cut through the dense darkness of the lies and falsehoods that are the alternatives being presented.
So before we get to your brand new book, I want to go back and talk about your greatest patriotic duty and the book you wrote, because there are some points we need to continue to talk about. You say, I'm paraphrasing you, that our greatest opportunity in this country for America is for us to be truly great. You know, we hear make America great again. Is a spirit-empowered revival. So there's a lot of talk now about revival. So in your book, Your Greatest Patriotic Duty, by the way, friends, you can bring that up. If you want to hear that conversation, go to worldviewmatters.tv and just type in Claude, C-L-A-U-D-E, and that podcast where we talked about Your Greatest Patriotic Duty will come up, and you'll hear our whole conversation about that. But we're just going to go back and very briefly review, because in light of what happened to Charlie Kirk, we were talking before we got on the podcast, and we believe the same things. If you have a true biblical worldview and are willing to stand on the Bible, what it teaches about God, creation, male, female, gender, marriage between one man and one woman, family, the importance of family, family defined by God, not by LGBTQ or the left, and civil government and what we believe is good for a healthy, righteous government, righteous nation, you are going to be hated by the left, and they're going to accuse you, me and you and whoever else believes this, as hateful for basically believing what the Bible teaches. That's where we're at right now. Claude, would you care to speak to that briefly?
Well, you know, if the enemy was attempting to muzzle or stifle the message of truth and the gospel by assassinating Charlie Kirk, it's had exactly the opposite effect.
Yeah, exactly.
It really has. I mean, it really backfired. Was a stupid strategy, because Charlie Kirk, you know, he was bold. He went where few others would dare to go. And he went not with a belligerent attitude, but with a very spirit-filled, loving attitude. He had a heart for his opponent. You know, he often called people to pray. And his wife has testified that he prayed not just for his followers or for Turning Point or for other Christians, but for those who opposed him. And that's really a spirit of that's a Christ-like spirit, you know. And Jesus said, "Love your enemies." That's what Charlie was doing out there, putting his life on the line, and ultimately it cost his life. But you know, the Lord has really taken it. You know, the day that Charlie died was on a Wednesday. I have a Wednesday midweek service, and you know, I was so shocked, I couldn't believe it when my wife told me they shot Charlie Kirk, and I was holding out hope that, you know, it was not a fatal wound. But as I was pondering, learning the bad news, and the Lord just put on my heart John chapter 12, where Jesus is talking about how, you know, a grain, a seed needs to be planted in the ground, buried in the ground, and die in order for it to bear fruit. And when we look at what's happened with Charlie Kirk, we see a parallel in Scripture in the book of Acts. The martyrdom of Stephen preceded the persecution, but then the spread of the gospel.
Big time.
And, you know, and this whole, you know, this idea of martyrdom, you know, Tertullian said that the blood of the martyr is the seed of the gospel, you know. So, and in Romans chapter 12, the Lord says, don't be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good.
Amen.
You know, and we see this throughout Scripture, even in the Old Testament, in Genesis chapter 50, when Joseph is confronting his brothers, and you know, they think he's going to put the hammer down on him. He says, "No, you meant it for evil, but God used it for good." So you know, it's really, you know, the enemy who's behind all of this, whether we're talking about a physical enemy and politically, or a spiritual enemy, you know, the forces of darkness, and they really can't win, because even when they do evil, God can take evil and produce good from it. How many Amen. Hearts were moved? Did you see that memorial to Charlie Kirk? When was the last time
Amazing.
You saw not only the president, but almost his entire cabinet sharing the gospel?
Yeah.
Now, sometimes it wasn't an accurate presentation, but for the most part it was. I mean, Pete Hegseth, I mean, you know, even
Marco
Tulsi
Rubio.
Gabbard.
Tulsi, yeah, right? it was
yeah, Marco
Jesus,
Rubio.
Yeah. Jesus,
you know,
was glorified.
Incredible.
Yeah.
Think of the, you know, you talk about free airtime for the gospel.
Yeah.
I mean, it's really incredible how the Lord is using this. And you know, I wonder in retrospect if Charlie could look down on what's happened as a consequence of his assassination. I wonder if he would have just, you know, a smile comes to his face and a warmth to his heart, how his seed, having been buried and died, is now birthing so much. I mean, there are Turning Point USA groups. They're just overwhelmed with the applications. I have young men in my own church that are looking to start in their own colleges where they're attending.
Wow.
These Turning Point USA groups, and that's wonderful, you know. So this really hasn't deterred us. It's invigorated and inspired, and yes, it could be a genuine revival.
Well, you say it may serve as a segue to true revival, and then that Jeremiah 18 shows us God's willingness to be merciful to any nation that would repent. And let's talk about that, and we will segue into your brand new book on the Holy Spirit, because it needs repentance. The church needs to repent. There needs to be a true spirit of humility and confession of our sins, and even our past apathy or general overall lukewarmness. In America, we've been so spoiled with the religious freedoms we have here and have not been faithful to the gospel. And now we're in this moment, catapulted by that memorial service where the gospel was broadcast globally and hundreds of millions heard the name of Jesus exalted. Now, I've heard a lot of criticism because of the different people, a Mormon or a Catholic or someone else who was maybe a charismatic sharing the gospel. But doesn't it say something like that, Pastor Claude, in Philippians chapter 1, that I don't care. I just it's important that the gospel is preached.
Right.
I don't care who does it. The name of Jesus is getting out there. Could you comment on that before we go forward?
You know, exactly. The gospel was preached. Jesus was exalted. In my the other book that we're going to talk about, Jesus said in John 15, 26, and in John 16, verse 14, it said, the main role of the Holy Spirit is to testify to him and to glorify him. Mm-hmm. Now, I don't think anybody, you know, regardless of who the instruments were, could look at the memorial service for Charlie Kirk and say that Jesus wasn't lifted up. I think it was yes, Charlie Kirk was memorialized, but it was more the God of Charlie Kirk, you know, and the spirit with which he lived.
Yeah, didn't that say something interesting about a lot of these political figures, important, you know, men of God, men and women of God, or men and women in politics, they wanted to honor Charlie, so they exalted Jesus and they shared the gospel because they knew that's what Charlie was all about. And I've heard criticisms that, you know, he was too political, or he was ecumenical, or he, anyway, this just things that have disappointed me. So friends, he wasn't perfect. And I'm sure you could find little clips if you take them out of context. By the way, you could look at Pastor Claude's sermons, or you can look at my podcast, and you can find a little clip of something we said. If you take it out of context, it's going to sound like we weren't biblical, but come on. I don't want to beat that drum again. I don't want to do that because I want to focus on, have you heard of the Holy Spirit? So Claude, let's move on to the Holy Spirit's role. You mentioned it a little bit earlier, the prime role to testify to Jesus, glorify God, glorify him, Jesus. And let's talk about how in America, it seems like we glorify and lift up pastors and personalities. And, you know, if we hear a Hollywood actor that says God bless you, or says maybe something about Jesus, we don't even know he's a Christian, but we kind of elevate that. Oh, my goodness, did you hear that? So-and-so, my favorite actor. And we kind of go, wow, or athlete. Mm-hmm. So speak to that for a moment.
Well, you know, the Lord can work through such instruments, but here's the issue. The issue a lot of times, and the church is guilty of this. And, you know, by the way, you know, all the state of our nation to this point in history, just prior to Charlie Kirk, and just, you know, recently things have been turning around. But prior to that, you know, the abortions, the same-sex marriage, you know, all of these things which are contrary to God's truth, this, you know, the Christian church, to a great extent, is culpable for these things because it's been asleep. It's been more of a Laodicean church that has disengaged from the public square and opted for this kind of, it's almost an arrogance or a resistance to being involved. And in my book, Your Greatest Patriotic Duty, one of the things I say is that, you know, to love our neighbor as ourself means to be involved. And there's no facet of society, no area of society, no nook and cranny of society that's off limits for a Christian, right? And that's the thing. And as soon as we begin to remove ourselves and isolate ourselves from certain areas of society, then we remove the light of the gospel from there, and an opportunity for the gospel to be glorified and the Lord to be glorified as he changes lives with the powerful gospel. Now, it's through the empowerment of the Holy Spirit that we have wisdom in how to do that, and that we have the power to do that. And see, this second book is actually an outgrowth of the first book, because I really felt the Lord speak to me about, have people even heard of the Holy Spirit?
No, that's a good point.
And a lot of times, what people are proclaiming about the Holy Spirit or acting supposedly in the power of the Holy Spirit are demonstrating far cry from what the Bible speaks about in terms of what the ministry of the Holy Spirit is. If the Holy Spirit's ministry is to testify to Jesus and to glorify him, then how come in some churches that are so-called Holy Spirit-filled churches, how come Jesus is kind of in the background and personalities are pushed up front?
I'm glad you brought that up. Can you speak to that for a moment? When the Spirit is poured out, there are some, you might want to call them hyper charismatic churches or movements that, I mean, they think, you know, someone shaking and rattling off some stupid, whatever they're saying or shouting or acting weird, and they say, oh, that's the Holy Spirit. And I'm going, well, I'm not sure that is the Holy Spirit. So I know discernment is a big part of that, but do you get into that in the book, Claude?
Oh, yes, absolutely. I talk about spiritual gifts. I believe that the spiritual gifts are valid for today. But what I don't believe in is I don't believe in a lot of the weirdness and a lot of the things. I try to live my life and do ministry within the parameters of Scripture. If it's seen in Scripture and seen in context in Scripture, then we're pretty safe in pursuing something. But if we see these other things, you know, I mean, you know, they're just, you know, I don't want to pinpoint certain churches that do certain things, but I don't see anybody in Scripture overcome by the Holy Spirit barking like a dog and clucking like a chicken or acting more like a wiggly worm on the ground than someone that's, you know, the true evidence of being baptized and empowered with the Holy Spirit is the love of the Lord. It's the love of Jesus, a sacrificial love, you know, and we need that love because the Bible says that the love that the Spirit puts in us enables us to fulfill the law because we're loving our neighbor as ourself, right? And so these are all things that the Holy Spirit does. So I just think, you know, I don't want to get off on a tangent on the weirdness because it's just giving them more attention that they don't need. But I think when the Holy Spirit comes upon a people, they're bold, they're empowered, they're loving, their motive is right. You know, they have a desire to reach the lost, all people, that they have a sense of a faith, like the spiritual gift of faith to move mountains in the power of the Holy Spirit. I think that's when we're really going to see a nation, not just a nation, but a world, made as great as it can possibly be.
So I think, I don't remember if we said this early on in this podcast or if you and I were talking before we got on, but I think I might have said something like, people cannot manipulate the Holy Spirit and force a revival. Can you speak to us about that and how true revival will happen and the lack of maybe emphasis on the Holy Spirit?
Well, there's two real, when we look at revival, there's really kind of two views. There's one view that says that a revival is the sovereign action of the Lord, right? So the other view is more like Charles Finney. Charles Finney felt that there were certain principles of revival that if you did them, revival would come, all right? I think that the truth is a little bit in the middle.
Okay.
Right? I believe that any revival is a sovereign move of the Holy Spirit, right? That's what I believe. But I also believe that, you know, if you seek the Lord in prayer, you know, if you repent before the Lord, if you humble yourself before the Lord, as you mentioned earlier in the other book, you know, Jeremiah chapter 18, verses 5 through 11, any nation that would repent and turn to the Lord would relent of the judgment that he's pronounced on them. And I think that, you know, when you look historically, the evidence would be that people were convicted of their sin. You know, the ministry of the Holy Spirit, John 16, verses 8 through 11, Jesus said, when the Spirit comes, he'll convict the world of sin, righteousness, and judgment. Of sin, because they do not believe in me. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father. And of judgment, because the God of this world has been judged. Right? The blasphemy, or the only unforgivable sin, is not to believe in Jesus. The only righteousness, if you're going to try to work your way to heaven, the righteous standard you'll be held to is the sinless righteousness of Jesus. And then if you don't turn to the Lord and don't trust Jesus as your Savior, then you will be, right? The Holy Spirit will show you, and the Holy Spirit will convict you that you will be have the same fate as the God of this world, who will be judged.
What I'm also thankful for, Claude, is that promise that the Holy Spirit will guide us into all the truth. So Christians who have believed in Jesus and have the Holy Spirit in us, that deposit guaranteeing our inheritance, guaranteeing what is to come, we have that wisdom from God, that guidance into the truth, so we can be more discerning. But I think there's a way to block it or grieve the Holy Spirit too. But we don't need to get into that. But I do want to ask you about one of the chapter titles. What's porcupines all about? That's one of the chapters toward the end of the book.
Well, porcupine, the chapter on porcupines is, you know, in the book, I speak a great deal about baptism with the Holy Spirit, a second work of grace. And I think that there, for some people, there is this second work of grace where the Holy Spirit is poured out on them. But it's not so much, it's not that we're getting more of the Holy Spirit. It's that the Holy Spirit gets all of us. I think that's really what happened on the day of Pentecost, that those 10 days that those 100 or so people were waiting in the upper room for this baptism or empowerment by the Holy Spirit. They were going through their minds, you know, their fears, all of the things that Jesus had spoken to them about. And they finally got to a point where they just surrendered to the Lord and repented. And I think that's when the Holy Spirit was poured out on them. But there's also, for instance, in Acts chapter 10, so that's like a second work of grace, right? Because the apostles and the disciples were saved prior to Pentecost, and then they were empowered. So two works. But then when you get to Acts chapter 10, it seems like it's almost concurrent that they received Christ as Savior in response to the gospel, and the Holy Spirit was poured out upon them. Now, there are some people that take very staunch views on this. They are cessationists. They deny spiritual gifts. They deny the baptism of the Holy Spirit, baptism with the Holy Spirit. And the point of that chapter is that some people have so many doctrinal points that they can't get close to anybody, and no one can get close to them. You see, so the point I'm making is not to disregard doctrine, but, you know, for anyone to claim that they know everything about the Lord or about the Holy Spirit, I didn't write the book as a know-all. I mean, the book is a couple of hundred pages. I mean, the volumes of the earth probably couldn't fill. You know, you're talking about the Holy Spirit, the third person of the triune Godhead. Yeah. How are you going to write everything about him? You know, it was a chapter calling people to be more humble and more open.
Okay.
Not to the point of heresy, not to the point of wrong doctrine,
right,
but to be More open. Even people, you know, these people in Pentecostal circles that are very much more feeling and emotional oriented, they need to be open too and ask themselves, you know, through the lens of Scripture, is what I'm doing justified?
Yes, great
is it scripturally
question.
Is it scripturally sound? Or am I like a porcupine who said, no, don't touch that, man. I know what I felt, right? And so it can go both ways.
Great question. I think it's also a reminder just that the Holy Spirit is continuing to sanctify us. It is a process of trying to be more like Jesus, trying to be more holy, not in our own flesh, but just as obedience, obeying the word of God and trying to be better every day. And it's hard. It's not impossible, or the Bible wouldn't instruct us to do that, but we are to be set apart. And that can get difficult. We only have a minute left, Claude, but thank you for the book. Friends, you can get the paperback or hardcover, correct, on Amazon?
Yes, a paperback Kindle version and an audiobook of the book.
Wow. Okay, great. We appreciate your voice. You have a minute left. Any last encouragement on this topic of believers and the Holy Spirit, Claude?
I would just say seek the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. You might not be completely clear on what it is, but you know the Bible does speak about the empowerment of the Holy Spirit and the necessity of the Holy Spirit. Jesus wouldn't let his followers go out and try to fulfill the Great Commission until they were empowered by the Holy Spirit. So even if you don't understand everything about it, seek it and receive it by faith.
All right, friends, again, the website, shepherdofhope.org. That's Claude's blog site, shepherdofhope.org, and he is at Calvary Chapel of Hope in New York. Brother, thank you so much for your time again. It's been too long. We're going to have to reconnect a little bit sooner now. We'll be in touch, okay?
Absolutely, bro.
All right, God bless you. And friends, share the podcast, another good one. We appreciate you so much. God bless you, and as always, keep speaking the truth about things that matter.